Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening, and you can thank yourself for what you're going to learn again here on the Hour of the Time. Now, if you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website, a wonderful website full of research materials, links, news items, updates on the conference and special projects, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now we have a couple of announcements to make. Be prepared to see lots and lots of new research pieces, large pieces, not just little news stories, and special events and documentaries and DVD releases coming up on our website, so you need to constantly pay attention and stay on top of things there, hourofthetime.com. A couple of big events we have coming up I want to highlight to you. In March, Hour of the Time, in conjunction with Citizens for Multiple Land Use and Access, is presenting a land rights and management seminar March 9th and 10th in the Eager High School Auditorium. Now, ladies and gentlemen, can you tell me what the real impact is of wolf and other so-called endangered species reintroduction projects? Do you know adamantly, with court case and verse, the importance and supreme authority of a county sheriff? Do you totally know the severe impacts that the misguided government land policies have on your economy, your family lives, your communities? Do you know the real history of private property rights and ownership and ranching and grazing in this country? Do you know the real authority you have over your land and the lands of this country versus the false authority many federal agencies exert? Do you know the jurisdictional boundaries of the federal government? Do you know about attacks on landowners and private property advocates all across the nation? Are you fully aware of all the numerous global organizations and treaties conspiring right now to take our country as we know it and land away from us, our borders, our national sovereignty? If you don't, then you need to come to this conference. It's March 9th and 10th here in Eager, Arizona. And let me just give you some of the lineup. Daniel Martinez, rancher and constitutional scholar. Dr. Angus McIntosh, one of the nation's leading experts out of the University of Wyoming on allodial title and land patent. Dr. Alex Thal, out of the University of New Mexico, one of the nation's leading experts on the socioeconomic catastrophes that develop whenever a federal agency steps in to state and county affairs and exceeds its jurisdiction. Dr. Nick Ashcroft, again, University of New Mexico, an expert and doctorate in economics on the economic catastrophes that come whenever federal agencies get involved in policymaking at state and county levels. Sheriff Richard Mack, a friend, a longtime friend of Hour of the Times, on the supremacy and authority of the county sheriff, including a complete blow-by-blow, paragraph-by-paragraph breakdown with handouts in the audience of his case that went all the Supreme Court and what he won concerning the Brady Bill. Laura Schneeberger of the Gila Livestock Association, probably the entire country's most renowned expert on the animal reintroduction projects and the real guys behind them and the facts and travesties that occur through these projects and the agenda of them. The Paragon Foundation, Americans for Property Rights, and yours truly, speaking on international treaties, the UN and globalization, and federal jurisdiction or the limits thereof. This is a wonderful event, ladies and gentlemen. March 9th and 10th, 2007, is coming up here in Eager, Arizona at the high school auditorium. Now, if you don't believe the impact that these talks have and this research has, just last week, a week ago, in fact, with ABC News there, etc., of course, only televised around New Mexico and Arizona, but, and a county courthouse in Catron County, full, exceeded capacity, 5-6 rows deep in every hallway, just so people could hear the jury boxes, everywhere people could get in, the county sheriff and all his deputies, the county board of commissioners, and upon much testimony and research presented by several of these doctors and people mentioned here and myself, we had the county pass unanimously ordinances to boot U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service policy based on the fact that they have no jurisdiction. Catron County was never ceded by the state assembly to the U, that's in capital U, capital S government. It was never adopted by an act of Congress assembled. Therefore, it's not a federal enclave. Therefore, there is no federal jurisdiction in the county. This is a major victory, ladies and gentlemen. And we're doing it in three other counties this month alone. It's already on the agendas. And we will be successful. So you need to get involved, ladies and gentlemen. Quit sitting on the back seat like many of you do, letting everybody else do it for you. It's time for you to step up to the bat if you're one of those slackers. Now, besides the big event in March, and we have several speaking engagements already scheduled throughout the year around the West, but the big one is the Hour of the Time Research and Skills Conference in August. Ladies and gentlemen, we're limiting it because of the hands-on instruction we're going to give you with experts from around the country, both academia-type classroom skills and then hands-on field skills. We're limiting it to 40 attendees, so you better make your arrangements soon. $400 is it. It is a week-long seminar. All day with on-site, catered, fresh-cooked, every meal served, even lunches and dinners, all 5 days, Monday through Friday. The speakers, conference notebooks, last year's was a couple inches thick, three-ring binder, besides all the books and presentations in the form of PowerPoints and videos from the speakers and lecturers and instructors. All of that for $400. It's, you can't beat the price anywhere else. Why a lot of so-called pro-American and so-called patriot networks are out there beating the drums of 9/11. We are giving you the skills that you need to live in a real world and to face the real predicament that is coming to this country and around the world in a factual, no-nonsense manner. Now we have academia worked in there too, because you need a break from the field type environment, as well as for your research. We have David Christopher of the School of Natural Healing, the preeminent Academy of Herbal Care and Herbology, all day, like last year, teaching the fundamentals of herbal medicine. He is the expert. Speaks all around the world in Europe every year. Very busy man, but because of the special relationship the School of Natural Healing and the Hour of the Time has, we have him, the master herbalist himself, on site, in person, teaching. Last year he gave out, two or three different books from his school to every attendee as a bonus, besides all your notebooks and the PowerPoints that he used in his presentation. Field walks for herb identification and usage, all of that. That's just one day. Another day, home survival gunsmithing. I'll leave it at that. Field training day, a half a day in the field of advanced marksmanship exercises, building on the fundamentals from last year's conference, and you did not need to attend last year to necessarily get that whole foundation, those building blocks. All the DVDs of last year's conference are available via our website, hourofthetime.com. Just as you can go and view, if you donate for the DVDs, all of David Christopher's lectures from last year, so you're not behind at this year's conference. We're building every year because what is coming down the pike, ladies and gentlemen, and we don't have time to go back and rehash stuff for people who chose not to show up. You're going to have to get caught up in the form of the DVDs. Now, in the field exercise, you're going to learn special purpose and reasoning shooting techniques and reloading and tactics. We also have canning, sprouting, and food storage techniques taught on site there with demonstrations by experts from Utah and Idaho, as well as right here locally, for your long-term food storage plans and everyday plans around the house to save you a lot of money and eat a lot healthier. Michael Cremo, who's been on the air with Hour of the Time several times, either with Bill and myself co-hosting or just myself, on forbidden archaeology. He's one of the number one scientists out there using archaeology to debunk Darwinist. He's going to have his picture proof evidence there. It's going to be a wonderful demonstration. And that's not all, ladies and gentlemen. We have some practical classes on locksmithing, etc., that are going to be taught by expert locksmiths. And you'll really like those courses as well. So if you get locked out of your shed and it's an emergency, you need to get in now, you don't have to bust down the doors to get in. You can get in a very neat fashion so you don't damage any of your property and get to your supplies in a time of need in case you get separated in chaos from your keys. Very easy to do. How many do that every morning anyway around their house? On a regular day, let alone with an immense amount of stress and fatigue. That's just a drop in the bucket of what you're going to get at this year's Hour of the Time Skills and Research Conference. You need to make your plans now to attend. However you're going to travel, however that might be, that's not our problem. And if you want to keep that to yourself as well, that's fine. If you want help, we're more than glad. Just like last year, people wanted to know what airport is best to fly into to get somewhere close to the conference site. What bus stations are close? What kind of hotel facilities are there? That type of thing. And we'll help you and guide you through all that. So mark your calendars. Start getting ready. That's August 6th through 10th of this year, 2007. August 6th through 10th. We have the entire facilities with a security team before, during, and after. Just like last year. And the entire facilities are private for our use. We have the run of the facilities, the buildings, everything for your safety and as well as just your comfort and enjoyment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can't get a deal like this anywhere else. I guarantee you on that. You will not find a deal with this much research, this much information in 1 week with lunches and dinner served, notebooks provided with the information in print so you can take home and teach your militias, teach your neighborhood groups, your church groups, your neighbors, your coworkers, your youth groups this information and spread it out. And let's restore our constitutional republic. Now, with those predominant announcements made, we're going to get into tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is environmental communism. And I'm going to be covering several aspects of it. Now, I have to blow over it quickly because it's a vast field, but we've done a lot of broadcast already on this genre. So if you want to go back to several, like the Convention on Biological Diversity equals the New World Order, a three-part series on the air and in podcast form on our site while it was posted last month. Who is our enemy? That was from the 22nd of January. The Convention on Biological Diversity is the New World Order. That was the 17th and 18th and 19th. Limits on federal jurisdiction, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, yes, that's it. And reality check is another good one to go back to. Also last month, a Cooper Classic rerun. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a lot of music tonight for two reasons. I'm about 9/10 worn out. We have a lot of material to shove down your throats, and some people had commented that the Limits on Federal Jurisdiction series, although utterly necessary, utterly documented, including one of the largest law firms in Cleveland and all of Ohio, was turned on to the podcast by a client. They had 7 interns and their entire law staff look at as much as they could in a couple days, which is a drop in the bucket, they said themselves, of all the court cases I put out, and said that Limits on Federal Jurisdiction series was bulletproof. They had never heard of such a collection, and they had not heard of most of the cases themselves, and were astounded because of the decades of law experience in their law firm. I'll give you an idea, ladies and gentlemen, what we're doing here at the Hour of the Time. We're trying to educate you to be a better person and to help us reestablish our constitutional republic and our freedoms. Our freedoms here, because we are the last stumbling block to world socialism, and freedoms all around the world. Now, tonight's topic again, environmental communism, it has a huge amount of history in the socialist and communist movement from around the world. And I speak for almost everybody when I say this, that I cannot stand communists and socialists and any enemies of our republic or our constitution. And we're going to give you a lot of direct quotes and articles and names and dates again tonight. So have your notebooks ready, and we're going to do a lot of music tonight. And don't forget, it's still not too late, even though it is pretty late for some of you, like on the East Coast. Don't forget, if you are into holidays, it's Valentine's Day. So if you messed up somehow and forgot, you've still got a few hours to make good on that if you buy flowers or candies or dinner or whatever. So we're going to have a lot of music tonight, kind of give my voice and brain a little break, as well as to entertain you amidst all this bad news that typically gets thrown around the news and airwaves. So here we go with our first song. Get your notebooks ready and be prepared to write for tonight's episode, Environmental Communism. Thank you.
Your ding-a-ling won't ever get sore. But when you old and you've lost your sting, you don't need a doggone thing. My ding-a-ling, my ding-a-ling. Oh my, it's the greatest thing. My ding-a-ling is the cutest thing. When Sing plays with my ding-a-ling. There's a little girl, she lived next door. I like to play with her yo-yo. She like to play with my yo-yo string, but she will not play with my ding-a-ling. My ding-a-ling, my ding-a-ling. Oh my, it's the cutest thing. My ding-a-ling is the cutest thing. When Sing plays with my ding-a-ling.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, the hour of the time here with your host, Doyle Shamley, here in Eager, Arizona. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start off with the definition out of Webster's of socialism and communism. In case you're unfamiliar with the differences or don't know them at all, you need to, because it is your greatest enemy of freedom in our republic. Socialism can be characterized as any of the various economic and political theories advocating collective or government ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods. It's a system or condition of society in which the means of production are owned and controlled by the state. A state of society in Marxist theory, transitional between capitalism and communism, and distinguished by unequal distribution of goods and pay according to work done, a system of society or group in which there is no private property. Do you see us right now in socialism, ladies and gentlemen? In communism, it's a theory advocating the elimination of all private property and ownership. A totalitarian system of government in which a single authoritarian party controls state-owned means of production, with the professed aim of establishing a stateless society. A final state of society under Marxist theory in which the state is withered away and economic goods are distributed equally. It's a doctrine fully based in the revolutionary Marxian socialism. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can see we're on that teetering edge right now in this country, and most of the world has already fallen to that ilk called socialism. Now, the message is, ladies and gentlemen, that we get is that we intend to take everything you possess. They will decide what type of living accommodations you are to receive, how much food, and what types you are entitled to. Then only tell you where you can live, but control how much you can grow on your land and how much you'll be allowed to keep. They'll determine what type of jobs you can have and where you will labor, when or if you can have children, whether or not they will be educated, and in what fields their education will be conducted. They'll locate you where they need you, regardless of your wishes, and your every function and right will be governed by laws they will develop and pass, and they will control law and order, and justice will be meted out by the courts. Citizens and human rights will take a back seat to the needs of the new society that they are creating, ladies and gentlemen. Now, our Constitution, why is it being so challenged? When did the inalienable rights granted to us by God become outdated? By what authority does anyone claim the right to deprive you of those rights set forth by our founding fathers for all time in our Constitution? Much of it, ladies and gentlemen, are those who are hiding under the cloak of environmentalism, the greenies, seeking to enslave the total population of the world under the yoke of socialism. They actually aggressively seek the power, and those in government who ignore their laws and the Constitution are abiding and aiding and abetting them in their quest. Now, in times past, such actions would have been classified as treason, like they are. However, in these so-called more enlightened times, terms like subversive and treason are considered politically incorrect, and most people are scared to say it like it is for being fear of being classified as a radical, even if it is in defense of your very rights and your neighbor's rights and your country's rights, freedoms, and constitution. This nation has become riddled with fear, a nation of cowards, ladies and gentlemen. I dare any of you to do what many of us have done and are doing on a daily basis. Stand up in a meeting or on a street corner or in a grocery store line and tell them that you believe in the Constitution of the United States of America. It's being attacked by subversive elements in our country, enemies foreign and domestic. And tell them that you intend to defend it with your very life, if necessary. Find out just how quickly people get away from you and shun any contact with you, because America has turned into a nation of cowards. People in this nation have become afraid to say what they believe in, that they believe in their rights as human beings. We believe in the rights of others around us and our freedoms. They're worried about being labeled a radical or a subversive. And this is very dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. We have to instill in everyone in this country again that it's a proud tradition to defend our individual rights of everyone, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. We have to turn away from this nation of cowardice. Now, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You see all around you, and I'd submit to you that those who would destroy our Constitution, who are subverting our laws, depriving us of our legitimate rights, stealing our land, our assets, and who have conspired with those who seek one world socialist government, that are the traitors themselves, and we should not be afraid to say so, and they're definitely not afraid to talk about their causes and their agendas, ladies and gentlemen. Look around. We are to blame, though, ladies and gentlemen. We've allowed those in power to constantly gather more power for themselves and use that power to oppress us, to frighten many of us in this country from taking any action to oppose them. And they continually feed on us, taking from us daily and growing stronger daily in their cause, their subversive cause against our freedoms. We must not be afraid, ladies and gentlemen, to stand up and say enough is enough. I've drawn the line in the sand and you will not cross this line. For if you do, I will fight back and you will lose. Ladies and gentlemen, if we and our children and our grandchildren and our families and our neighbors and our fellow church members and communities become slaves in a one world socialist state, it will be because we did not have the heart and the will to resist the final grab for power that is taking place at this very time in history. I hope we can rekindle the flame in the soul of Americans who, throughout our history, have risen to defend our nation and the concept embodied in our Constitution. The liberty that it embodies, the very future of that very document, lies in our hands, ladies and gentlemen, yours and mine. The very freedom and independence of all peoples of this country and world and this nation are at stake. It's us who must defend the Constitution, not the other way around. And where is much of this socialism and communism coming from? Under the guise of environmentalism. It is a way to hide and still advocate one world, totalitarian government. And what do the Greens believe that we've documented in oh so many episodes? And how does it compare with socialist doctrine? Let's look at just a few key points, ladies and gentlemen. All life is equal. Plants, animals, insects, and other creatures have the same inalienable rights as humans. Private property should be abolished. All property should be communal property. Anybody recognize that? Truth and objective science is secondary to achieving a goal. You see that every day in the false science of global warming, acid rain, endangered species. I'm still waiting for someone to tell me where the Endangered Species Act can be enforced. Some of the answers I got after the last challenge of that, offering a good reward, a whole series of CD audio broadcast, free shipping included, everything, for who can just give me the right answer. Either email it to hourthetime@hotmail.com or call 928-333-2942. Let me know where that Environmental and the Endangered Species Act can be enforced. You know why I got a bunch of wrong answers? Because people haven't even read it. Yet they're going to sit here and agree and nod their head when they see something claiming to be in compliance or in support of the ESA. Why don't you find out? I dare someone to give me the answer. You're going to be shocked when you find it out. It's not a big document. Read it. Now, religion must be indoctrinated with and support environmental dogma. You already see this in all of the mainstream churches and conventions around the world. Nature's way is always best, saying technology must be destroyed and economic growth reversed. See again that socialist-communist parallel? A world government with international green police must enforce global environmental standards. We already see that trying to come about. Human populations must be radically reduced if we are to survive. We already hear that come about. And remember that friendly move of farmers last century? Do any of you remember that? Who did it? Why they did it? I would hope so. It's pretty clear in history. Stalin, the early years of the Soviet Union, he was just going to move some farmers to the nice little state-owned collective farms. And on the way there, he managed to kill 5 million. Now, here's a big one that you see every day being attacked by such things as the North American Union, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the Global Biodiversity Convention, all of these supported, and the majority of it written by the Greenies, individual national sovereignty must yield to the imperatives of global government. All wealth should be shared equally among all people. All developed nations that have a high standard of living must reduce their use of energy, food intake, use of pesticides and fertilizers, and their consumption of world's resources. And if people will not reduce their consumption of food, energy, and natural resources voluntarily, government must do so, even if it means using force. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all around you. You better wake up. Now let's look at a few quotes, ladies and gentlemen. I like to give you quotes and names and dates because, like always, I dare you to prove me wrong. because in trying to do so, you're only going to validate my research to yourself. Let's look at Peter Burrell, formerly the Audubon Society, now with the Sierra Club. We reject the idea of private property. How about Andy Kerr, the Oregon Natural Resources Council? The Oregon Natural Resources Council. We have ended the dreaded communism. We must now end the dreaded capitalism. Carl Boyce, a leading U.S. communist, stated in March 1995 in MIA, quote, the environmental movement promises to bring together greater numbers into our orbit than the peace movement ever did, end quote. In an ecology magazine of the Communist Party USA, Gus Hall, discussing opportunities for expanding communist influence, said, quote, this is true in the struggle to save the environment. We must be the organizers, the leaders of these movements. Human society cannot basically stop the destruction of the environment under capitalism. Socialism is the only structure that makes it possible. Maurice Strong, known communist and world socialist leader at the Earth Summit, said, quote, isn't it the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? What have communist leaders, ladies and gentlemen, been trying to do for more than 80 years? 90 years. Destroy American industry, technology, and our very economy of the U.S. And the only way they can do that is to systematically destroy our Constitution and our freedom. Now read Noss some more quotes from the Wildlands Project. The collective needs of non-human species must take precedence over the needs and desires of humans. How about Prince Philip? He was the founder of the World Wildlife Fund, known communist, thief, liar. Quote, if I were reincarnated, I would wish to be returned to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. End quote. How about Peter Singer, the father of animal rights? Not only self-proclaimed, but many greenies proclaim the same thing. Quote, Christianity is our foe. If animal rights is to succeed, we must destroy the Judeo-Christian religious tradition. End quote. And let's look in 1962 for a few other quotes and facts. A Class 5 report, at the time classified, called a world effectively controlled by the United Nations by CFR member Lincoln P. Bloomfield, voiced the insider's obvious dilemma. Quote, if the communist dynamic were greatly abated, the West might lose whatever incentive it has for world government. End quote. To consider this conundrum, CFR insiders in the Kennedy administration in the summer of 1963 convened a special study group of 15 men who met at a secret facility at Iron Mountain, New York. Their mission to come up with alternatives to war that would provide the same social and political stabilizing function. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're getting the hint, because if you're not, I'm not good enough to get through to you, so you might as well turn off the broadcast. And don't forget, the proponents of the Global Biodiversity Convention and Assessment said that it presents the choice of global peonage or mass genocide. Mass genocide, ladies and gentlemen, and leaves the details of accomplishing the option to the ingenuity of national governments. To achieve this end, human civilization must be radically restructured, vast stretches of land must be re-primitivized, roads must be ripped from the landscape, and human populations must be forcibly located. and continue indefinitely expanding the wilderness until the matrix, not just the Nexus, is wild. Advocating the end of industrial civilization? Most assuredly, everything civilized must go. Ladies and gentlemen, they said it, not me. I'm just telling you the research. They're scumbag socialists. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, you need to draw that line in the sand and say enough is enough. You're tired of getting pushed around. And if they cross that line, it's time to lock and load. Hundreds of laws, ladies and gentlemen, have been passed that infringe upon our very basic private property rights. Billions of dollars in property values have been stolen from owners without 1 cent of compensation, using two little things, the Clean Water Act and the Endangered Species Act. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a fact. And like I say, email me, hourthetime@hotmail.com. Studio number 928-333-2942. Call me. Tell me the correct answer of where the Endangered Species Act can be enforced. And I'll give you, the limits of federal jurisdiction all 4 hours on CD for free, including shipping. I'm still waiting for someone to get enough gumption to read the damn thing in its brevity at that and tell me the correct answer. Now, if you look around our country, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency promulgated, infiltrated, ran by socialists and greenies, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, same status, the National Park Service, and many other so-called regulatory agencies have become the most abusive and intrusive agencies in our history, bar none. They rank right up there with the Nazi jackbooted ATF thugs. Trespassing on private properties, raiding homes and properties without warrants, fining people, sentencing people to prison terms for defending themselves against marauding animals, killing people who get in their way. Yes, they do that. Private homes on private lands that just boundaries, so-called national parks, are being raided, people forcibly relocated, and homes bulldozed and burned to the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no difference between these raids and tactics than those of the Gestapo in Germany or the KGB in Russia. Wake up. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I think we'll go to a musical break, because I'm about to blow my voice out here, and then get on with some more research. So since it's Valentine's, let me see, we will find one here. I know, I've got a decent one for you. Many of you will remember this old one, you don't hear it that often anymore, but it's appropriate.
I first laid eyes on you. I guess you knew it from the start, from the day you took my heart. You're the one girl I'll always admire. just be wherever you are. You set my world on fire. I miss you, yes I do. Must hug you, kiss you too. I'm yours my whole life through. I love you, yes I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Now, talking about green movement promulgating a socialist world government agenda, let's look at where they get and rob and steal tons of their assets, and it's from you, the taxpayer of America. The tax dollars appropriated, ladies and gentlemen, every year to fund the EPA, which is the Environmental Protection Agency, and similar state environmental departments, is in the hundreds of billions of dollars, exceeding the allocations for education, welfare, and transportation. One estimate puts it that the cost to citizens and businesses to comply with environmental laws from run-amok agencies that don't have jurisdiction in the first place runs close to $1 trillion a year, and that does not take into consideration lost jobs and closed industries. Now, ladies and gentlemen, most of this is being forced through by international agencies, think tanks, the UN, and all the top positions are filled by socialists. Every Secretary General since its founding has been a socialist. Almost every recommendation, program, vision paper, white paper, and document that emerges from the UN cesspool spouts socialist philosophy and dogma, and it's time to put an end to it no matter what. And who controls most of the councils, committees, and departments in the UN and most of our federal agencies in the United States? Who dominates and controls the proceedings, drafts most of the proposals and the legislations? International green non-government organizations, NGOs. And who controls the votes at the UN and much of the votes in our agencies and pulls the strings of our traitorous communist, traitorous and communist congressmen and senators. It's a cesspool of over 550 non-government organizations that have consultative status and exercise enormous influence, and almost all of them come in the guise of something to do with property or the environment. And they also control the votes in the UN. The Global Biodiversity Treaty, which we covered in a three-part series here last month, was developed by non-government organizations and is socialism in its purest form. It will drastically reduce America, or you could say North America, us and Canada stare into living and severely infringe upon all of our sovereignty and freedom. It's been endorsed by over 400 of these non-government organizations. And not only will it severely limit individual rights, it will subject many aspects of our very way of American life and property to UN control, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the North American Union, Canamex Highway, Security and Prosperity Partnership, and on. Follow the money trail. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're getting the hint and realizing that it's time to wake up. It's time for you to become active. It's no one else's job. It's no one else's problem. It's no one else's duty but yours. Yours alone. Take responsibility. You must understand that by your inaction, you are helping communism and socialism take over all aspects of our life and erode all of our freedoms. Now, I'm going to throw you a few organizations and another musical break. Look closely at the Global Biodiversity Assessment itself and the United Nations Global Biodiversity Facility under UNESCO and UNEP. And look for the Global Biodiversity Treaty, which is a result of the Global Biodiversity Assessment, and UNESCO, and Rio de Janeiro, and Al Gore. And look at the National Audubon Society, the Nature Conservancy, Sierra Club, Greenpeace, International Union for the Conservation of Nature, Worldwide Fund for Nature, World Resources Institute. Follow the money trail, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll see what I'm talking about who is funding international socialism and under what guise they're doing it. And it's theft of all your property rights. And it's the pushing forward of population reduction through force of the environmental agenda. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take another musical break here for Valentine's evening. And let me see, I have some more blues music here. Here we go.
Start because the big fat legs are so far apart. I want a bow-legged woman right now. I want to find me a gal somehow. She's got to be built like an old bass fiddle. Big bow legs with plenty room in the middle. Gotta be on my way to find a bow-legged woman today.
He wants a bow-legged woman.
Yeah.
He wants a bow-legged woman.
Boy, I'll fall in love with her right from the start because the big fat legs are so far apart.
He wants a bow-legged woman.
Divine.
A bow-legged woman, that's fine.
She don't have to be no glamour gal, but she's gotta have hoops like an old beer bear. Gotta be on my way. A bow-legged woman today. I found a bow-legged woman last night.
Yeah!
And man, she was really alright. She had a solid straddle. When she came into battle, I jumped dead in the saddle. You couldn't hear a rattle, and there wasn't nobody there to run and tattle. Gotta be on my way to see my bow-legged woman today. I say, my woman with big bow legs.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now, a little bit more background. If you want to do some more research and try to disprove me, why don't you go to the United Nations Environmental Program? Now, the original United Nations Conference on Human Environment was held in Stockholm, Sweden in 1972, presided over by guess who? Known communist scumbag Maurice Strong. And from the conference emerged UN Resolution 2997, adopted by the General Assembly in December 72, and that created the United Nations Environmental Program, coming into force January 1st, 1973. And guess who was appointed as its executive director? That's right, Maurice Strong, communist scumbag. Now, the U.S. funds over 26% of this to the tune of over $1 billion. And then came about UN Resolution 1296, which granted consultative status to non-government organizations. Rule 61 in the Habitat for Humanity Conference gave these non-government organizations, or communist think tanks is another word for it, equal voting status with sovereign nations. That's right. A communist front group under the guise of environmentalism has the same voting power as the entire United States. Now, if you look at the United Nations Environmental Program literature, you'll see four basic fundamental foundation principles. One, recognition of Gaia as manifest reality. The Gaia hypothesis, developed by known communist James Lovelock, holds that the Earth is a living organism. Gaia, according to the theory, is the creator of all life, and all life is part of the creator. Biodiversity is defined to be all life in the domain inhabited by it, the Earth, Gaia. Protection and preservation of biodiversity is the purpose for and the first responsibility of human society. Three, the Gaia ethic is individual behavior based on the recognition of Gaia and the responsibility of protecting biodiversity. The Gaia ethic is the new ethic that must be instilled through education as the, quote, guiding principle of individual behavior, end quote. And four, heresy is unacceptable. Individual, national, or culture objectives which do not recognize and conform to the Gaia biodiversity ethic must be overcome. How are they doing much of this? Redrawing land maps to differentiate biological characteristics rather than political, as in state, county, town, subdivisions, and jurisdictions. Regroup human populations into self-sustaining settlements. Educate humans in the force of Gaia ethic and create a new system of governments based on local decision-making within the framework of international non-government organization agreements. In other words, their own words, in fact, bioregions that are to be governed by bioregional councils. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're waking up. It's up to you. And this is an appropriate song since I just said that. And I can't believe I found it at the last minute here, considering the date and what I just said.
and you.